Now at Menards, save big on everything for your landscaping project. Whether you're shopping for edgers, pavers, or wall blocks, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Plus, get fast free estimates when you use our landscape design program available in-store and on Menards.com. Save big on landscape blocks when you shop at Menards. Also, check out the great deals from our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You know, there's something about these guys that makes me feel like I can relate to them about 50%.
Yeah.
You can tell
the other half I just don't get.
You can tell when the white guy raps.
Yeah, the guy with the deep voice, he just makes me feel uncomfortable.
I feel like we could be friends.
Yeah, I mean, the guy with a higher voice, he sounds like someone I could definitely be friends with. The other guy, he just...
I think he's white, the one that you're talking about. Yeah, you guys would be friends. Okay. One of them is. Hi!
cut.
One of them you could be friends with, and then start there. Do you know what I mean? And then bring it in there.
I could probably teach him a few things about selecting the people that you spend your time around also.
Oh, yeah. We'll take it from you.
I don't trust white people either. That's what you guys mean, right?
Dude.
Sure.
Speaking of, this case that we're doing today.
Oh, God, it's a big one.
Could it be whiter? Do you know what I mean? With that, thank you. I mean, welcome. Welcome to Jesse Wiseman's Crime Corner.
Yeah.
Authorities are desperately searching for a killer accused of going on a rampage.
The search for a possible serial killer.
An urgent manhunt for a man authorities believe is behind a triple killing spree.
Police here speculating that a possible serial killer may have struck again.
I told her to get out of the car, and that's when she became afraid, and then I shot her.
I am your host, Jesse Wiseman, and I am joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Coop and Joel.
Yeah.
Today, we have got another fun and flirty episode for you that's got all of our favorite things.
Do they die? Sorry.
You're going to have to wait to
you
find
know
out.
What?
Jumping in.
You know what, though? He might be surprised.
Might be.
Might be. At the one that does, right? An elaborate kidnapping, a detective with a ridiculous name, and a surprising twist that turns the entire case upside down. This is the story of the abduction of Denise Huskins.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay. This one is a well-known, well-documented, crazy case. And I do, and when we were talking about it being white, it's the whitest of white that's ever whited.
I mean, Northern California, you really can't get much
white. Northern California, island, things are called islands when they're not, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. We've got my boyfriend, Matt Murphy, on the case.
Yeah.
I know. So this one you guys probably know. We are, you know, if anyone has seen the documentary American Nightmare. But this is going to be us talking about it and
doing it the right way.
Doing it the right way. And we've got some questions and we've got some takes that Netflix wouldn't dare. You know, have they can't have those takes, but I've got some thoughts about the whole thing. It's crazy, it's bonkers, there's lots of twists and turns. Joel, I'm gonna need you to stick with me, but even though you feel like you know it, I still have some questions and some thoughts, okay?
I'm really curious to hear your input on this one, because, well, you were saying that a lot of people are going to know this one. Every single guy that I talked to about it, never heard of it before.
I've never
really only heard about part of it, but every single girl that I mentioned it to, they're like, oh my God, I know that case.
Because it is an American nightmare. It is your worst nightmare that seems like it only happens in movies.
The crazy thing is it just keeps getting worse over mm-hmm. the course of the entire case.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it ended up being such a,
yes.
a big episode.
We've got a long episode. This is going to be a two-parter.
Mm-hmm.
So we better dive in because we've got a long night.
Got a lot of work ahead of us. Our story this week takes us to our old stomping grounds, the Golden State of California. Unfortunately, we won't be going to the sunny beaches and poop-filled streets of Southern California, where the three of us grew up. Instead, we'll be taking a trip to the less sunny, but still poop-filled streets of Northern California. Because regardless of where you go in California, there's just shit everywhere.
There's gonna be... One thing about California, there's gonna be poop in the
there's
streets.
Gonna be.
Do you know what I mean? Somewhere.
When did this take place?
In 2015.
Oh, well, there's less poop back then.
It varies. It goes through a poop season. Sometimes there's seasonal. More poop.
You know, California's got fire season, then it's got poop season.
Right.
Fair.
Just north of San Francisco, on the eastern shore of San Pablo Bay, lies the city of Vallejo, California. Originally home to multiple proud indigenous tribes of Native Americans, Vallejo is now primarily known for being the largest city in California to ever file for Chapter 9 bankruptcy. So good for them.
Yeah, like what's their export? Do you know what I mean? Like, is it a farming town? Like, what is it?
They've got nothing.
They have nothing.
It's just a bunch of Silicon Valley people.
Yeah, if you could make money from poop on the streets, they'd be fucking...
Jesus Christ. Yeah. California would be even richer than they already are. I think they're like the fourth largest economy in the world.
Still?
They could find a way to harness that poop, street poop, you know what I mean, and make something from it.
Someday they will. It was in the fiscally irresponsible and likely shit-filled city of Vallejo that an abduction occurred, which captured the attention of people across the nation.
There isn't that much poop in the streets.
Well, it's close to San Francisco. There's...
You know what? Knowing California, though, they'd like recycle it and make like water bottles out of it. You know what I mean? Recycled. And people are like, yeah, we're doing our part. Yeah.
Except they'd make it illegal because it's human feces, which would be like...
Oh, vegan. I'm vegan.
Yeah.
Actually, wouldn't that technically be vegan? An artisanal poop bottle?
Yeah, it would be vegan.
It doesn't exploit animals.
Yep.
Okay.
While crimes in California are depressingly common and generally ignored, this one was different. This one involved an attractive young blonde woman named Denise Huskins, and we all know how much the news loves it when a white girl goes missing.
Doesn't matter how plain Jane Dumpy babe. Doesn't matter. If you're blonde, you know what I mean? Like, they're looking for you. They're going to start looking for you.
If you ever went missing, we could make a killing
off
of all the exclusive interviews and things like that. The news would be all over it.
Let's look into it. So around 2 p.m. on March 23rd, 2015, a call was made to 911 dispatch in Vallejo, California. On the other end of the line was a 30-year-old physical therapist named Aaron Quinn. He informed the operator that his home had been broken into and a group of men had drugged him and kidnapped his girlfriend. 29-year-old Denise Huskins kidnapped his girlfriend, 29-year-old Denise Huskins. Nothing could have prepared the responding officers for the bizarre story they were about to become a part of. So he calls. The 911 call is literally nowhere to be found. But he's very calm, and he says, my girlfriend has been kidnapped.
Mm-hmm.
How old is she? 29. She's been kidnapped. She got kidnapped last night. The dispatch says, and you're just calling this morning? Yes, I was drugged. You know,
and
but
not even
very
that morning,
calm, kind
2
of.
2 p.m. the following day.
Right, and so he's like, she's like, and you're just calling now? Yes, they drugged me. they took her. I don't know where she is. And the dispatch is like, okay, I'm going to send people out. 2 minutes later, very fast, Vallejo. Small town, probably not a lot going on. But 2 minutes for Maryland, a police, area. A 911 call is not bad for non, like, life-threatening. I mean, it is, but it's like nobody's, like, dying in front of him, right?
I mean, honestly, it's a pretty slow response for a predominantly white neighborhood.
True. That's true. When the police arrived, Aaron seemed drowsy and confused. He claimed it was from the sedatives that the intruders had given him, but the large collection of empty beer cans in his recycling bin, as well as three separate empty whiskey glasses, made them think otherwise. The amount of empty alcohol containers led police to believe that either Aaron was a rock star level alcoholic or he'd had company over the previous night. Aaron assured them that the containers had built up over time and that only he and Denise had been at the apartment prior to the attack. After briefly speaking with Aaron outside, the officers asked if they could search his apartment. He agreed, and one officer went inside while the other remained outside to guard Aaron. The condition of the apartment seemed strange considering it had allegedly been the location of a robbery and a kidnapping. Aaron's apartment was not only clean, it was practically spotless. The carpets had been recently vacuumed, the counters were all freshly wiped down, and the faint aroma of cleaning chemicals still lingered in the air.
Huh.
The only signs of a possible invasion that the officers found during their initial search was a blanket missing from the bed in the master bedroom and a single drop of blood on the bed sheets. So, you guys know how I feel about, you know, grown women being kidnapped or, you know, a robbery gone wrong, right? So dive in. I buckle up because, you know, this is all the stuff I do not believe ever happens.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Did ya?
You were drugged?
Oh, that's me. That's me as the officer. Oh, really?
Is that right?
Let me guess. Burglary?
Later that afternoon, Aaron was taken to the police station where he was asked to hand over his clothes for DNA testing. He was given a new set of clothes from the jail and then brought to an interrogation room. There, he began telling the investigators one of the wildest stories they have ever heard. Sometime around 3 a.m. that morning, Aaron and Denise were woken up by strange sounds in the apartment. Suddenly, a bright, flashing light filled the room, and they heard a man's voice saying, "Wake up, this is a robbery."
Oh, really?
Which, that's how I start all of my robberies.
Well, you gotta let them know what's going on.
I mean, it's polite.
You know what I mean?
You're already showing up unannounced, you might as well, you know, have the courtesy of telling
them why you showed up.
They're groggy,
you want to be like, this is what's happening.
Although Aaron was unable to see the person talking, he could see lasers scanning around the room, which he assumed were attached to the weapons of the intruders. Which is a strange thing to notice, like right after you wake up, it's like, oh, I was blinded, it was flashing light, and I could, but there were actually lasers pointing around the room. So, you know, I thought they had guns.
I mean, yeah.
After waking the couple up, Denise was told that zip ties would be placed on the bed, which she was to use to restrain Aaron. Once Aaron was restrained, Denise was bound with zip ties as well. As the robbery progressed, the ringleader assured them that they weren't there to hurt them. This was purely a financial transaction. After being tied up, Denise and Aaron were forced...
So Denise had to tie up Aaron.
Yeah.
So that's convenient as well. No one else's DNA is going to be anywhere.
Yeah, yeah, it is
okay,
very,
so then Denise
convenient.
Has to tie up Aaron, and then I think Aaron has to tie Denise up.
Well, they had laser sights, so they must be really smart burglars.
If you have lasers on your guns, dude, I'm going to listen to you.
So after being tied up, Denise and Aaron were forced into a nearby closet where they were blindfolded with blacked out swimming goggles and had headphones placed over their ears. A pre-recorded message was then played for them, which was oddly accompanied by soothing music similar to the kind played during a massage or spa treatment.
Wu-Tang.
That was, That was very, and, very courteous of the.
Yes.
You know, it sucks getting robbed, but this Enya is really keeping me calm.
Yeah.
The recording initially played on a loop, telling them to remain calm and assuring them that they wouldn't be harmed if they cooperated. After looping a few times, it switched to a new message, informing them that a medical professional would be checking their vitals and giving them a sedative to help keep them calm. The recording then warned them that if they refused to take the sedative willingly, it would be administered intravenously.
Is that butt stuff?
That's only way.
I think that's
the only other way.
What kind of burglars are these people?
Highly skilled. I mean,
very organized, very skilled, know exactly what they're doing.
I got a picture of what I think they look like if you want to see.
Burgle cut!
Bring it back!
Are you burgled?
Burgled by burgle cut.
That's my...
off good!
My vote for the title of this, Burgled by Burgle Cut. Because I know nothing about it.
We've got to do it at some point, right? We've got to... put Burgle
We should
cut.
Do an episode on how he died, because I think he's dead now.
I think we found that. Oh, like yeah, we did find that he died.
Yeah,
the
he
actor?
Died. Yeah.
We should dude, he was probably dead within a few years of Willow coming out, wasn't he?
But we could do a full episode on just like how he died and
Burgle
how awesome
Cut's
he
life.
Was.
A biography of Burgle Cut. We could do it in the style of like biography back
it's
in the
murder,
day.
But it's not.
Pictures that just go in and out only. Ken Burns, everyone. As the recording played, Aaron could hear the men moving around downstairs. First, there were whispered conversations, then objects being moved, and finally, the sound of a power drill. After the noise subsided, the medical professional came into the closet, as the recording had stated. This person checked their blood pressure, asked them if they were on any medication, and gave both of them a liquid sedative. After the sedative was administered, Aaron and Denise were separated. Denise was taken to a room downstairs while Aaron was kept in the closet. Then another message was played telling them to give the men their banking information. Should they refuse to tell them, or if they gave false information, they would be tortured. One of the attackers then took Aaron's headphones off and began asking him for email addresses, passwords, and bank account information. Out of concern for Denise's safety, Aaron complied.
So obviously, so far, this is a very straightforward home invasion.
Yeah.
I mean, textbook.
Seems like Tom Cruise is there, probably. I just think with the laser, you know, I always think the going under the lasers
yeah,
and stuff.
Tom Cruise, George Clooney, Brad Pitt.
I think of, what's her name?
The Rock.
No. Oh, Catherine
Zeta-Jones.
Entrapment. Oh,
my God. Yeah, yeah. Best laser work of all time.
Yeah.
Shortly after gathering Aaron's information, one of the intruders came back into the bedroom and told them that they had a problem.
Ooh. This is such a long situation.
This is the most complicated home
this
invasion
I've
ever
This is not in and out. He's moved. I mean, these people are moving in.
I mean, there's character arcs to everybody in this story.
Oh, I mean, a bunch of different people. Like,
I'm all in.
Crazy.
Nobody would make this shit up.
No.
It's so insane that it had to have happened.
Had to have happened. You're absolutely right.
So one of the intruders came in and told Aaron that they had a problem. They then asked if Denise looked similar to Aaron's ex-fiance, Andrea Roberts.
What?
Aaron confirmed that they both had the same hair color and similar builds. It was then that he realized the attackers had been expecting to catch him with his ex-fiancée and not his current girlfriend, Denise Huskins.
He had a type.
He definitely had a type. The attackers left once again.
Even high-level fucking attackers got it wrong. I mean, that's how much he just likes one type.
They showed up with a medical professional. They had guns. They had the
but
drugs.
But still got
ties.
The two blondes mixed
still
up, right?
Mixed up two blondes.
Okay. Sounds right. Sounds legit.
From his place in the closet, Aaron could hear two voices whispering to one another about different contingency plans. He then heard one of the men say that they were going to move on with the plan, even though Denise wasn't their intended target. Soon after the conversation ended, another pre-recorded message played in Aaron's headphones. Shit does seem kind of weird, right? I mean, that the
no,
amount
it's all legit, dude.
Oh, yeah, all legit. The third message confirmed that Denise wasn't the intended target. In the message, a man's voice informed them that he would be taking Andrea for 48 hours while Aaron gathered a ransom totaling $17,000. The recording said that the group he had been targeted by was a professional organization from the dark web that specializes in collecting financial debts.
Gosh.
As I mean, you do.
17 G's?
If you got, like, you know, people, I have lots of debts or debt collectors that, like, threaten things. They threaten this? I might pay.
Oh, man.
I might actually pay the propane bill. You know what I'm saying?
I think that almost everybody in America would have a really good credit score if this is how debt collectors handled business.
And it was, like, known?
Yeah.
Like, it's not everyone, but if you get targeted by the...
You get fucked up.
You gotta pay. So after the recording ended, Aaron was moved downstairs to the living room. One of the attackers told him that they would leave a pair of scissors for him so he could free himself in the morning. The man asked if Aaron had any bills that were due soon or appointments that may arouse suspicion if he missed them. Aaron told them no. The man then told him that he would need to call in sick to work first thing in the morning and then use Denise's phone to text her supervisor and let them know she would be gone for a week. The guy knows this. Aaron was then told that he would be sent a series of text messages and emails giving him further instructions. The man then explained that he would be taking Aaron's car to transport Denise to a secret location where she would be held for the next few days. After explaining the plan, the man warned Aaron that they had placed red tape on the floor in his living room, making an area the camera could see. He was to stay within the bounds of the tape until their transaction was completed, or Denise would be tortured or killed.
Shit.
Just before the intruders left, one of them asked Aaron if he needed anything before they left. Aaron said yes and asked for a blanket.
A what?
Can I please get a bunkie? Anything else, bud, before we go that you might need?
A bottle of whiskey.
Yeah, blanket.
Please?
I'm kind of cold. Oh, sweet boy. Yes, please.
As you do.
Yes, please. I'll get you a blanket.
Hooker, well.
The intruder apologized and said, I forgot how cold it is in here because we're all wearing wetsuits. Another layer to the already super normal story is that they're all in wetsuits. Lasers, headphones with messages, mm-hmm. cameras that they set up in the house. I mean, how do you keep it all?
Textbook home invasion.
Yeah.
For 17,000.
Then covered times. Aaron with a blanket. And the group left the apartment.
With a what? How do you say it?
A bunkie.
Bunkie.
He then covered Aaron with a bunkie, and the group left the apartment. At that point, the sedatives finally took effect, and Aaron took a whittle nigh-nigh. So Aaron fell asleep until the next day. I mean, what are these sedatives? Let me get some.
Hell yeah. Yeah,
if you're like in the middle of that kind of crazy ordeal and you're able to like go to bed,
even on a night when I'm relaxed, I can take sleeping pills and I'll still be awake for another 6 hours.
No, there's nothing except for like straight up anesthesia that would like put me to sleep if there's something like that.
Yeah, you said it was liquid intake.
Some
right?
kind
you
of drink. Liquid. Sedative. I want to.
Shit, I
want
some of that. If it makes you hallucinate, fucking being in a James Bond film. Mm-hmm.
Aaron woke up when his alarm went off around 7 a.m. the following morning. He followed the instructions the kidnappers had given him and called his supervisor to inform them that he wouldn't be coming into work that day.
And then the note self-destructed in 10 seconds.
He then used Denise's phone to text her supervisor and inform them that she had a family emergency and wouldn't be available for the next week. Then, due to these strong sedatives, Aaron fell back asleep until around 11:30 a.m.
Tell me what the combination is, please. I'll take it tonight.
6 shots of whiskey and 14 of those NyQuil pills.
Yes, dude.
They just gave him a bunch of Z-Quil. Yeah. When Aaron woke up the second time, he saw that he had multiple messages from the kidnappers, which, I mean, it's like it gives me anxiety sleeping through my alarm when I just have to go to work or go to an appointment or something like that. Imagine waking up and realizing, like, oh, shit, I overslept.
Oh,
the kidnappers
shit,
are going to kill my girlfriend.
They might have killed my girlfriend.
Fuck.
God.
Instead of using a burner phone or email account, they had used one of his own email addresses. The instructions told him to get a cash advance of $17,000 from the bank, which he was to split between two separate credit cards. The reason for splitting the amount was to avoid the $10,000 reporting limit that would, or the $10,000 limit that would require the bank to report the transaction. If the bank happened to ask for a reason, Aaron was told to say he was buying a speedboat. Again,
no
textbook home invasion.
It's like whenever someone says, "Like my house was broken into," it's this. Do you know what I mean? It's usually just like this. Okay.
Exactly. It's a tale as old as time.
I would let people break in if it was like this. Fun. Okay.
Yeah,
I mean, they break
drugs.
In and give you drugs and shit.
Give me
that
drugs,
like a good
put
time
me to
me.
Sleep, kill my
girlfriend. Girlfriend.
Yeah.
All for it. As Aaron worked on getting the cash advance, he began to notice something strange about the camera the kidnappers had left in the living room. It had begun making strange noises, which he believed indicated that it was malfunctioning. Hoping that his hunch was correct, Aaron threw caution to the wind and called his brother, who happened to be an FBI agent, and asked for help.
What?
Again, textbook home invasion. After filling him in on the details, his brother advised him to call 911 and report the crime at 2 p.m. the following day.
Oof. Aaron. Straight. I'm sorry, bud, that all that happened to you. The attack on Aaron and Denise made no sense to police. Normally, only extremely wealthy individuals would find themselves targeted by highly organized groups such as the one that had taken Denise. Why this particular group had chosen Aaron and his girlfriend was a mystery, and not even his girlfriend, the ex-fiance. Aaron wasn't exactly poor, but he also wasn't exceptionally wealthy. Originally, he had moved to Vallejo to complete a postgraduate residency as a physical therapist at a local hospital. Once complete, he was offered a permanent position at the hospital, which he accepted in 2010. Although he made a comfortable living from his new position, he was far from rich. But the new job did give him something that money couldn't buy. That was where he had met the love of his life, Denise Huskins.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a smile that would light up a room.
No. No. Not yet. We're not using that one in this. We don't know if anybody died yet.
So let's look at a picture of Denise now.
So, fun fact.
Not burgle time.
There you go.
Out of the way, peck. Yes, so here we go. We've got, gosh, I mean, you could not find him. I mean, pretty blonde.
Conventionally attractive.
Conventionally kind of attractive. Blue look. Eyes. Everything's in place.
Very, classic Cali babe.
Very airy.
Classic Cali babe, but classic, like, Vallejo babe. Do you know what I mean? We're
classic,
like,
Northern California.
Northern California babe.
Not a whore.
Not.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's.
Well, I guess we'll find out.
Look. That's her, right?
Yeah.
It's a pretty elaborate plan to take her. Sweet girl, though. Very nice and pretty. Let's get a picture of young Aaron Quinn.
Is that the next one?
Yep.
Aaron Quinn.
Wow. This is a very nice professional photo here. A little scary looking, though.
Yeah, everybody in California is trying to be an actor. It's probably
a
headshot.
Yeah, it's kind of like a headshot situation.
But I've been thinking about this.
He looks small. He looks like a smaller gentleman feature, you know.
Smaller, yeah.
Good looking petite dude.
Yeah, a bit of a mousy face. There's somebody that he reminds me of. I have not been able to think of who it is, but he reminds me of an actor or something. Oh, the guy from The Bear.
Oh,
from
yes.
The Bear.
And
yeah.
From Shameless?
Yes.
Yeah,
I was thinking of the Hawkeye guy.
Oh, kind of has a Jeremy Renner look going for him, too. Less masculine. Though.
Like after
the
accident.
Snowplow? Yeah, yeah. Most famous performance he ever, yeah. The thing I remember him from is getting run over by a snowplow. Why? Because he won't let me fucking forget it.
Yep.
He has been on a snowplow tour since it fucking happened. Let me tell you about the snowplow. It's been a year anniversary since my snowplow. Buddy, what are you working on?
Well, Jesus Christ.
Are you going to do a movie?
Nobody gives a shit about Hawkeye, obviously, so he's got to talk about something.
Story.
Yeah. He had to do
true
something.
True story.
I mean, he already rode that wave from Hurt Locker.
Well, he's riding the snowplow wave. and then we have a picture of Aaron and Denise together, do we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, ma'am.
The beautiful couple. Oh, now could you find more of an apple pie, plain Jane?
And
boring. I mean, this is happening to you guys?
And that
you
is
you guys.
Oh, yeah, this is the guy saying that story.
Yes! Yeah. This
hell?
Is a girl
look at that,
but that look, got taken with lasers. Okay? Like,
but look at that face. That face wouldn't lie. I mean, it looks a little,
I mean,
you know, a little ratty, but
yeah, matching teeth kinda.
Anyway,
doesn't mean they're liars.
Just the most normal looking, good looking.
Yeah.
That's
California, right?
That's roughly what every couple in Northern California looks like, up until you get to the southern border of Oregon.
Denise had come into Aaron's life.
This episode of Crime Corner is brought to you by our new fun and flirty title sponsor, Omaha Steaks. Omaha Steaks. Is there a more perfect title sponsor for the Drinking Bros Network and for this show than Omaha Steaks? I don't know about you, but I have a husband that needs a steak or a burger at a moment's notice. As soon as he thinks about it, he needs it. If you have that problem, then Omaha Steaks is for you. My family loves burgers. My youngest kids are just now getting into them, and the smash burger was the thing that turned them into burger lovers. You guys know when you're making a like traditional smash burger at home, it's a little bit messy and kind of a hassle. But not anymore. Make smash burgers at home without the hassle or the mess with Omaha Steaks, all new smash burgers. They are pre-smashed and 100% extra aged beef that won't fall apart when you flip them. And right now you can get 16 free in the Built for the Grill pack. Listen to where you go for the smash. And this is a crime show, so listen. OmahaSteaks.com/smash. Doesn't it sound like somebody's getting hurt, you know, and we need to solve the crime? OmahaSteaks.com/smash. Omaha Steaks has been America's original butcher since 1917, a family-owned company with over 100 years of expertise in the meat industry. They deliver premium quality burgers, chicken, pork, seafood, and dessert, and easy to prepare comfort food. Get ready to smash expectations with new Omaha Steaks Smash Burgers. Visit omahasteaks.com/smash and order the Built for the Grill pack with 16 free Smash Burgers. That's 16 free Omaha Steaks Smash Burgers at omahasteaks.com/smash. In June of 2014, when she moved to Vallejo for the same postgraduate residency that Aaron had completed. When he first met her, it was love at first sight. They shared the same passion for medicine, they had similar hobbies, and it didn't hurt that Denise was easy on the eyes. She had long blonde hair, bright blue eyes, and a smile. What, Joel?
I was coughing.
That some might say...
I was coughing.
Could light up a room with lasers.
Doesn't mean she's dead yet.
That was a flashing
48 light. Hours.
Listen.
You guys have tricked me before.
Have we?
You're going to have to wait a while to find out whether we tricked you or not.
Yeah. You're going to have to wait till like end of part two, dude.
She's probably dead. You guys have only tricked me once with that, I think. Once.
Well, I mean, look at... Bring a picture of her up. Look at that smile. Would that not light up a room?
Yeah. Yeah, she's cute.
It's lighting up this room.
As we talked about in our last episode, the success of an investigation can be heavily influenced by how cool the lead detective's name is.
Lighten
like Detective Dallas Lockhart. That's such a good goddamn name.
It's going to be hard to beat. So we have Detective Lockhart, and then the only other one was from Biddles and Watts.
That's the one that sticks with
me
the
dynamic
most.
Duo Biddles and Watts. And then Lockhart, but like... we've had kind of a dry spell with cool detective names.
Lockhart got a good little song under him whenever we mentioned him. It's got like horses fucking going,
dude. Shit like that. It's pretty That's good. What I'm talking about, Joel. That's what I'm talking about, bud. He's back.
Well, get ready for another good name, because in Aaron's case, that person's name was Detective Matthew Mustard.
Whoa.
Is that him?
That's him okay. right there.
What's up, Mustard? He's got a nice cut on his nose.
Maybe he should get
What the fuck happened to his nose in that picture? That's got a sunburn
he's
or
a
something?
He's a cop, dude.
What do you mean? He headbutted somebody and saved a life.
He's a cop, dude. He's on the beat.
He's got to have a surfer song that is also cool. Like Pulp Fiction, right?
Oh, yeah, because it's Vallejo. Yeah. Some kind of 1950s sort of
surf rock.
Surf rock,
but a heavier one. I'm on it. It's playing right now.
With a name like Matt Mustard, the only possible conclusion was that Denise was murdered by Professor Plum in the billiards room with a candlestick. Detective Mustard began his questioning by having Aaron explain his relationship with Denise. He asked how they met, how long they had been dating, and whether or not they got along. It was during this line of questioning that he discovered something that did not reflect well on Aaron.
Ketchup.
God damn it, Joel. There's a joke
about
that.
Nemesis.
There's a joke about that later in the episode.
Sorry. Yeah, hush,
I mean, it's
dude.
The obvious.
Hush, bro.
It turned out that the couple had been going through a bit of a rough patch when Denise was abducted. Uh-oh.
Oh, that doesn't... Aaron.
Uh-oh.
Purely coincidental.
When Aaron and Denise first met, Aaron was in the midst of a breakup with his ex-fiancée, Andrea Roberts, due to infidelity on Andrea's part. Although separated at the time when Denise and Aaron first began dating, he was still living with Andrea. Okay, little...
My man.
Right? Okay, looks can be deceiving, guys. You can be look like a boring little California couple, and then right underneath the surface...
is another boring-looking one.
Trash.
Fun fact, Andrea also worked at the same hospital as Denise and Aaron. And that's where where Andrea and Aaron first met.
Right, so that's... uncomfy, right? So he's still he's breaking up with his fiance that he's still living with because she cheated on him. So it's not exactly that
he didn't
love her anymore. No, that was...
Well, Denise isn't saying shit about it because she's dead. I mean, she's gone.
Whoa, she's shit. Kidnapped. She's kidnapped.
Kidnapped.
Don't try. There's enough twists and turns without you confusing everyone. So it's already weird. They all work together. Although Andrea later moved out, this had been a point of contention between the two and had occasionally caused them to fight, obviously. Like, hey, ever gonna move out from your ex-fiance? Are you guys ever gonna stop living together?
Shit.
Point of contention, right?
Maybe stop texting her and hanging out with her and stuff.
The tension caused by Aaron's previous relationship nearly resulted in a breakup when Denise discovered that he was still texting his ex-fiance behind her back.
Still finger blasting his phone.
After discovering messages between the two of them on Aaron's phone, Denise confronted him and the two of them had a long emotional conversation about the future of their relationship. So the texts were like, he's wanting to try again.
Yeah,
because when it's
to try
infidelity,
and
yeah, when it's infidelity on her part, he's like, it's almost like there's no closure really, because it's not like doesn't love her. It's just that he knows he can't be with her. So it's going to be he probably should have taken some more time. Let's just say that. to really, really end the relationship. The talk between Aaron and Denise resulted in the two of them taking a little time apart to figure things out. Good idea. Aaron took this opportunity to contact his ex-fiance and ask her to take the last of her things out of the apartment so he could move on. Then 1 week later, he contacted Denise and invited her over so they could work things out. Following a long, heartfelt conversation, Denise decided that she was going to follow her heart and give Aaron another chance. After all, he was a good man with a good job and definitely not the type of guy that would murder her and then blame it on an elaborate kidnapping scheme carried out by an Ocean's 11-type group of criminals. Sadly, only a few hours after they reconciled, Denise was abducted.
Oh, shoot.
I mean, can you imagine the luck?
It happened that quick, huh?
I mean, just literally within about 4 to 5 hours after they reconciled, she disappeared.
So this...
Post-nut clarity. Gets you every time.
So, all right, you go a little bit, and then we're going to show a little bit of the interrogation, because at this point, this whole story and everything... He's been talking to Mustard for about, I mean, it's going on 10, 12, 13 hours at this point. So
It goes without saying that Detective Mustard didn't believe a single word of Aaron's story.
I don't either.
Why not?
I don't know. It's just
He's a straight shooter, man. The idea that a group of men in wetsuits orchestrated an elaborate abduction in order to get a ransom of $17,000 was a little too far-fetched for him to believe. Knowing that the only plausible conclusion to the case was to secure a confession, Detective Mustard began grilling Aaron.
Okay, so let's look at that interrogation. You know, so at this point, he's hearing the story. He's listened to all of it. He's asked the questions about then what happened here, and then you called, and then all of this. So this is how Mustard has gotten this entire story from Aaron only.
He's doing his best not to
laugh. And what they're finding at the house. They do find the red tape. They do find some of these things.
They found the camera in the living room.
Right. So, you know, some of it's adding up, but it starts to turn again around, you know, hour 14 of Mustard being like, what the fuck, dude? So let's see, we're going to be able to hear Aaron, right? We're going to be able to see what he's dealing with and how he's been acting for this time.
They told me, Aaron, I needed to stay in my house, so that there was going to be video recording to monitor and make sure that...
So
I
calm.
Sedatives,
right? I need them.
Then talked to my ex, and at that time, when I was still dating Denise...
Is there tension in the relationship? Is she mad?
She's upset.
Concerned? Is she cheating?
No, well, she felt that emotionally that was cheating in some sense.
I mean, did she, like, discover something?
Well,
I mean, was she, like, going through your phone and, like, you know, what the hell is
she
this?
She went through my phone.
What'd she find?
Found text messages. Yeah.
What did it say?
Saying I still care.
He looks like a little boy, you guys.
Story,
like,
you're telling here?
Oh,
you
Mustard.
Mustard, on the other hand, he's a big old hunk of meat.
I don't have anything to think about. I'm telling you what. Listen to me. There ain't no frogmen came into your house. Nobody dressed in wetsuits or. It didn't happen. I don't think this happened intentionally. I think something happened, accidental, and you got to the point where you reacted the way that you did and you had to come up with this story. You look at that and you go. That dude's a lying son of a bitch. That's the way people look at you.
They're telling that he's going to be perceived as a monster.
My boyfriend.
You had to leave at least one clip in there.
I had to leave him in, Matt.
The
frogmen obviously didn't do it. So who did it now? Well, it's the guy that I've been sitting here talking to tonight. So now I get out my puzzle pieces and I start figuring out, okay, how do I make it so you look like a monster? I don't want to do that. Ultimately, I'm looking
so
for the truth.
Calm.
Damn.
He's so calm. So he's in prison. Like they said, they took his clothes for DNA testing and they put him in prison issued. So he looks like a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
He's calm, cool as a cucumber. He looks like a baby, right?
Yeah.
He looks like a child there.
Yeah. How old
and
is
I
he?
Don't think he, and he's, I mean, they were 29.
She's 29. He looks younger. Well, no, I guess he's just a little petite boy.
I think he was 30, yeah. Somewhere between 30 and 32.
Yeah, yeah.
Mustard's fucking ripping his ass.
Mustard after 13, 14 hours of this story is like, bro, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck?
Come on, dude.
That line that he said about the puzzle pieces, that was one of my favorite parts of the interrogation, because right before that, he's like, I'm the puzzle master. So I take my puzzle pieces and I put
Mustard
them together.
At this point, he's tired now. He doesn't have set. He doesn't have drugs.
Yeah.
He's not all hopped up and calm like Aaron.
Yeah.
He's like, dude, no, I'm dead sober and I like to booze and I would like to go home and have a drinky drink. And now you're pissing me off. Yeah.
4 hours past beer 30. Just say that you fucking did it.
Yeah.
Near the end of Aaron's interrogation, Detective Mustard called him out, telling him that his story didn't make any sense and that he was sure Aaron had something to do with Denise's disappearance. He began floating ideas for what really happened that night, hoping to strike a nerve and cause Aaron to say something incriminating. The first theory that Detective Mustard offered was an overdose. Maybe Aaron and Denise had been taking prescription medicine from work and she accidentally took too much. We've all been there.
Yeah, but they're not cool enough. Do you know what I mean? You can tell.
Look at the pictures now.
You can tell. They don't do that. They're not cool.
Yeah, a few glasses of rosé is probably
right.
What,
they get
what Denise considers partying.
Crazy.
Aaron denied the accusation. Mustard then threw out the idea that Aaron had accidentally said his ex-fiancée's name during sex, resulting in a violent and ultimately fatal confrontation.
Yeah, I mean, Mustard is pissed at this point. I don't know what you did, bro.
Throwing everything against
What'd
the wall
do?
And seeing what sticks. Again, Aaron maintained his innocence and insisted that the story was true.
Things were not looking good for Aaron. In the days following Denise's disappearance, he was interrogated for hours by the Vallejo police. They knew that if they could just keep the pressure on Aaron, he would eventually crack. Things began to look even worse for him when he was given a lie detector test by a special investigator from the FBI. He's doing everything wrong. You guys know that. He shouldn't have even talked to him.
Shouldn't have done the test.
Should have had a lawyer by now.
Should have had a lawyer right away and should not have taken the test. The results showed that he was lying. So we bring in another detective.
Uh-oh.
Sorry, bud. You failed. Right? Still, Aaron refused to confess.
Are they going to look up if his brother is actually an FBI agent or whoever he called who said was an FBI agent or whatever?
Well, that
I think
yeah,
he
that part's
is,
true.
Yeah.
They didn't need to investigate that. I wasn't able to find out whether it was he's got an older brother and a younger brother. I wasn't able
one
to find out.
One of them is an FBI agent?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
But I mean, why would you call your brother in the FBI before just reporting it to the police?
Was it his birthday or something? Maybe his brother was pranking him.
Without a confession, the police didn't have enough evidence to arrest Aaron. All they could do was let him go and hope that the evidence they needed would eventually turn up. After the lie detector, Aaron just kind of blurted out as this detective is like yelling at him. He was just like, I need a lawyer. Like kind of like in this moment was like, I need a lawyer. I don't know. You guys aren't looking for, I need a lawyer. And the detective's like, what? Okay. Stops. Do you see how easy that is? You say, I need a lawyer. The detective stops questioning you and you get you know what I mean? You go.
Could have said that up front and saved
he
Detective Mustard a lot
of time. He just didn't understand what was happening, right? So he's like, I need you to find her. So I need a lawyer. I need a lawyer. I need a lawyer. Just kept saying it. So the evidence they were looking for turned up in the form of an anonymous email to a crime reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle named Henry Lee. So at this point, I don't know if... I think reporters had been outside the scene, right? So there was kind of wind of an abduction while they were questioning Aaron. There was reporters outside the house, I think, while they were investigating. Right?
Yeah, the news reports started coming out the first day.
Yeah. So crime reporters start getting on this woman is abducted and the boyfriend is being interrogated right now, basically. So this reporter from the San Francisco Chronicle gets an email. Roughly 30 hours after Denise's disappearance, Henry received an email with a subject line that had only one word, Denise. When he opened the email, he found an audio file with the title Denise Huskins. When he played the recording, he heard Denise's voice saying, "My name is Denise Huskins. I am kidnapped. Otherwise, I'm fine. Earlier today, there was a plane crash in the Alps and 158 people died. And the only thing that people know about me is that I went to my first concert, me and my mom, to Blink 182. Calm. Cool. Again, cool as a cucumber. Calm, calm.
Very, very calm.
And also during this time, so he's out now. He's got a lawyer, so he's not in the interrogation anymore. So now they're kind of like, okay, are you looking for her? They kind of weren't, right?
Yeah.
They were kind of just putting pressure on Aaron and looking for, looking like searching around his house and finding evidence about him. Right?
Yeah, look, I mean, honestly,
his family, like, you know,
looking at the most obvious suspect.
Right. They're just kind of like, well, okay.
So apparently, shit. Denise was alive. The audio file had been sent as a proof of life, which is a picture or recording meant to prove that a victim of an abduction is still alive. The message not only proved that she hadn't been murdered, it also supported Aaron's claims that he had nothing to do with the disappearance. With the new evidence in hand, the police were able to shift gears in their investigation and begin looking for whoever was responsible for her abduction, which was still, they still thought was probably Aaron.
Yeah.
Aaron was brought in for another round of questioning, this time as a witness instead of a suspect. Denise's mother, Jane, was brought in to give a statement as well. When they sat down for this second interrogation, the questions didn't go where they expected them to. Instead of going over the details of the abduction, Detective Mustard began asking personal questions about Denise herself. The investigators were curious about Denise's history. They asked her mother what her childhood was like, what kind of personality she had, and whether or not she had been through any traumatic experiences.
How many boyfriends she had, what did she drink, like all these things where the mom is like, and the mom is just as Vallejo as the other ones. Do you know what I mean? It's very like, all of these people are, I'm sorry, but I'm jealous that these dum-dums had this amazing thing happen to them. Sorry, but okay, so the mom's in there like, kink, kink, kink.
Like, oh my God.
Like, what? What? Why? And like, not understanding what is happening. And they ask her, go ahead.
Jane replied that Denise had been molested when she was a child.
Why'd you say that? Why do you have to say it? Do you know what I mean? Like, she goes, the only thing I could think of was, why are you even saying it? Like, why are you not being like, why are you asking me this?
She was molested.
Do you know what I mean? Like, why are you, you're not on sedatives, mom.
And also even, so I,
like, why are you like being like, just answering all these dumb questions while your daughter is,
I mean, she
missing.
We don't know, but maybe she could be one of those Vicodin and Rosé kind of moms. The kind that we love.
I don't think it is.
Rest in peace, mama.
She really was, just, I mean, they really just blindsided everyone.
Now,
in this family,
would it be strange for even the witnesses to have a lawyer come in with them? I'm not sure, but is that like a common thing?
No, but if Aaron has a lawyer, his lawyer should be going in there. Do you know
I
what I mean?
So.
Yeah, or well, you could say no, like or what, whatever. Like I would like to, but I want Aaron and the lawyer to be there. But at this point, let's be clear too: the family had never met Aaron. So like they're maybe not trusting him during this obviously either. Mm. Being like, okay, like we've never met this guy. She's abducted from his house and he calls at 2 p.m. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So they're not at this point, the family, her brother, dad, mom, are not really trusting, not really knowing what the hell is going on. So
it's not like a Keith and Darlene Gentry situation where they had a, you know, a long
a
history.
Long history. They had never
and would back him up
had
on
one
anything.
Conversation with the dude.
Yeah.
Right.
So Jane told the agent that Denise had been molested when she was a child. The agent explained that he was asking because people who had been through traumatic experiences were known to fabricate new events in order to recreate the sympathy and excitement from the original event.
Oh, God.
I heard that, but what a weird thing to say to a mom that her kid is kidnapped, but whatever.
I mean, also a strange thing to say. I mean, it could be true from a psychology perspective, but I mean, that's a real weird thing to say where it's like, oh, you know, sometimes people have been molested. They'll make shit up because they want to relive the excitement.
So at this point, if she hasn't already, I'm hoping the mom is like, okay, I don't like this. This is fucking, look for her, please. Done questioning me. Or they're like, okay, so what happened? What is going on? When it was Aaron's turn to answer more questions, they wanted to know how Denise acted when she was abducted. They asked whether she fought back or screamed when she was taken. Aaron told them no, she had been calm throughout the entire ordeal. They then asked Aaron how much Denise knew about his finances. Aaron replied that she knew he wasn't rich, but he made a comfortable living. The investigators then asked the strangest question of all. Did it ever come to mind that Denise was behind this?
Yeah.
Not that. And not these, the reaction
I and was once again, this dum dum. No. Like, that's my take, guys. That's my take for now.
For now, until the conclusion in the next episode.
But these people are just. If when they're like excited, they go, I'm so excited. That's just them all the time. That's them all the time. My favorite memory is Blink-182 with my mom. What?
They've got that NorCal energy. Living too
the
close
NorCal
to Humboldt County.
NorCal just like the, not any, in, you know, big emotions either way. And, you know, if we're going to compare a little bit this part to Papini, that husband... Doink, doink. You know what I mean? Like, dum, dum, dum.
What was the Papini?
The fake kidnapping Papini, remember? Nope. Sherry Papini, Houdini Papini, where she went to her old hockey boyfriend's house and...
had him punch her in the face.
And was like, punched herself and like branded herself and stuff. Yeah.
Remember, during that episode, he kept going, Papini.
Papini. Yeah.
That was a good one. She was... badass.
That was your takeaway from it?
She almost got away with it.
On March 25th, 2015, 2 days after Denise was abducted, the Huntington Beach Police Department received a call from her father, Mike Huskins. He reported that he had just gotten a message on his phone from his daughter. The kidnappers had dropped her off nearby, and she was walking over to his house.
Shit.
Huntington Beach. Now, how far is that from Vallejo?
From Vallejo, it's like 300 or 400 miles.
But that's where she's from?
And that's where her... So, I believe her parents were separated. That's where her dad lives in their old family
home. And that's where she grew up.
And yeah, that's where she grew up.
Oh, interesting.
So, suddenly shows up at her dad's house down in Southern California 2 days... at least the kidnappers stuck to their timeline. They said 48 hours, and 48 hours later, they...
And here we are.
Dropped her off at her dad's place, as kidnappers do.
Somebody's doing things right, and it's the kidnappers, by the way.
After allegedly spending 2 days in the custody of her kidnappers, Denise suddenly appeared at her family home in Southern California, nearly 400 miles away from where she was abducted in Vallejo. What was even more strange was the fact that no ransom had been paid, and no new messages had been received from the kidnappers. It almost seemed like the entire abduction had been fabricated.
Mm.
Interessant.
Now, that's what we call a cliffhanger.
Yeah, what the fuck's going on?
So this is, you guys, this is part one of a story that has even more twists and turns than you think right now. So I don't know what you're thinking right now. Are you thinking that, you know, they both had something to do with it? Are you thinking it's real? Are you thinking that she just did this to him? He just did this to her? Whatever you're thinking right now is probably not right.
Yeah, you're most likely wrong.
You're probably wrong.
What I'm thinking right now is it must be insane if we're doing a whole nother hour of this shit. Like, what the fuck?
I know.
Like, this is like normally where a case would end, you know?
Right.
Do you have a theory about what's going on?
And part two, guys, longer.
Much longer.
Taking you down a windy road.
Twice as much information in the next episode and even more crazy shit in the next
episode. And we can call this a cliffhanger or a partial prolapse.
Tiger style.
Tiger style. Yo. Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with. Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with. Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with. There's no place to hide as I step inside the room. Dr. Doom, prepare for the boom. Bam! Aw, man! Ah, slam! Damn! I scream like Tarzan. I'll be tossing and forcing. My style is awesome. I'm causing more family food than Richard Dawson. And the survey said, you're dead. Baby flying guillotine chops off your fucking head. Mister, who is that? Hey, yo! The Wu is back. Making niggas go boom, boom. Like I'm Super Jack. Me fear no one. Oh no, here come the Wu-Tang Shogun. Kill her to the eardrum.
Put the needle to the groove, I get screwed and I'm forced to fuck it up. My style carries like a pickup truck. Cross the clear blue yonder. See, the China Sea, I slam tracks like quarterback sacks from LT. Now I try and test the rebel lioness. Less since the birth, I earth slam your best. Cause I bake the cake, then take the cake and eat it too with my crew while we head state to state.
And if you want beef, then bring the ruckus. Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with.
Niggas in Sleepy Hollow. In fact, I'm a hard act to follow. I dope for Dolo. Bogarten coming on crew. Niggas is like, oh my god, not you. Yes, I come to get a slice of the punk in the pot. Rather do than die. Check my flavor. Coming from the visor with the show for the razor. Who make me reminisce true like deja. Who? I'm rubber. Niggas is like glue. Whatever you say, rubs off me. Sticks to you.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.